This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, BlackBerry's got the rebranding blues. We talk about just how huge Amazon S3 is, the CIA is pwning all of us, and the CRTC shoved a knife in Sugar Mobile's back. That's all next and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 106 for Tuesday, March the 7th, 2017, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, we're back here again a little bit late. Had some real life stuff happen, including a visit to the dentist for me, a couple of fillings. So yeah, it would have not been fun listening to me talk last night, Derek.
I disagree.
Actually rather amusing. I know you tried to talk me into it, but fortunately, they just froze my mouth and not my brain. So probably wise. We're also trying a different way of talking to each other tonight. We're trying a piece of software called Discord. I guess this is something a lot of gamers use, and we're hoping it's going to solve some of the latency issues we find when we use Skype.
Latency, that slow robotic type voice issue that can happen sometimes. I closed a lot of tabs and a bunch of software tonight as well in order to help. I switched wireless networks here at home. I've disconnected and reconnected to Discord a couple times just so things could be as pristine as possible. And so yes,
and
hopefully.
If that doesn't work, I'm gonna give you an Ethernet adapter, and you're gonna have to wire in.
Yep, that is literally the next step. I will work in the basement.
He's gonna be in the furnace room.
Yeah, I will.
He's gonna be in the furnace room.
Yep.
Okay. All right, we'll get on to some stuff here. So a couple of interesting stories this week. We're gonna start off with BlackBerry, our good friends BlackBerry. Story in the Globe and Mail. They're not in the smartphone designer business anymore. They consider themselves a software maker, but they're still having some challenges with their branding because, you know, a lot of people sometimes when you say what is BlackBerry, what do people think about? Phones.
BlackBerry Enterprise Server.
I guess, but you know, even that it's, you know, so they're really trying to. Trying to pivot themselves, and you know, and I think this is a place they have to go. So they basically had an interview with the chief operating officer, Marty Beard. In the Globe, and he says they're 100% complete in their transformation, but changing perceptions about BlackBerry remains an obstacle. Their efforts now center on connectivity and securing all the devices consumers and businesses hook up to their internet networks, such as cell phones, tablets, and wearables. They also have that. Also have their QNX software, and I know you had the number. I think it was 60 million vehicles. It's in.
Yep, 60 million.
Wow. And they're also opened a research center for autonomous cars in Ottawa, where they're working to create secure software. What are your comments about, you know, what direction BlackBerry is going?
Well, while I sympathize that they're certainly trying to rebrand as a primarily software-focused company, that's fine. It doesn't help when the second image in their carousel on the homepage of BlackBerry.com is a phone and is advertising a phone, and then the four in HTML, what are called divs, I think, the four sections or four images here, enterprise software, secure communications, technology solutions, secure smartphones. You guys don't make these anymore, but they're still branded BlackBerry. They're not doing themselves any favors. If they really wanted to get out of the hardware business, then they should have just shut it down. right? Instead, they've outsourced everything to TCL. TCL is designing, TCL is manufacturing, licensing the BlackBerry brand, though. So, of course, people are and they're trying to make a big splash out of all these new phones that they're releasing. The DTEC 50, the DTEC 60. Key One was unveiled at Mobile World Congress, which maybe is not a first for BlackBerry, but certainly they don't do that very often. You know, they made a big deal about the Priv, and rightfully so. It was a well-reviewed device, a little expensive, but well-reviewed. So don't give me a sob story about, you know, oh, we're trying to be a software company now. We don't want people to think about the phones. Then just kill the phones. Then they should have just killed it, right? Like, just end it. Done. Mm-hmm. License the keyboard technology to somebody else or something. Like, they have patents for this stuff. License it to Samsung. They could use a little boost. Like,
So do you think this is just a case of classic case in these big companies? You know, they're still somewhat of a big company. There's some siloing. The left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
No, because the CMO or whatever he is, Marty Beard,
COO.
Yeah. Still, funny name, by the way, Marty Beard. Rather unfortunate.
I know.
Not his fault. No, because if he's the one who's talking on behalf of the marketing department, then he has to know what the marketing department's doing, right? That's his vision to lead, or his department to lead and set the vision and get his underlings, more or less, to implement it, which means he should know exactly what's on the homepage of BlackBerry.com right now. And there's a carousel promoting the BlackBerry Key One, and that's fine under normal circumstances. And then, although it's the fourth one, a little picture saying secure phones. Well, then you're still promoting smartphones. So it's at least in a roundabout way, maybe 15, you consider this 15 to 20% of your business, at least, if not a full 25. With the way they're showcasing phones on their homepage right now, to me, that's a big part of it. If you're going to talk about phones on social media or your online properties in general, well, then it's a part of your business, and you're promoting the fact that you're a hardware seller, I guess. Like, I don't even know what you would call it at this point, but you guys have your names on phones. Nokia is back in the phone market. They're not telling people that they're only a networking equipment company.
Right, right. I think this is what's interesting is the article kind of says this as well, you know, particularly with the Key One launch last weekend. So, yeah, they're gonna have to be careful how they do this. This may be, you know, I think maybe Mr. Beard basically... yeah, you know, he was excited about the direction they're going, but, you know, there's still a market there, apparently, or at least they think so, based on not necessarily based on what he's saying. So,
yeah, and you know, like, they're getting a commission for each phone sold, according to Mr. Beard. So, of course, they want the device to be phenomenally successful. Well, then you guys are still at least partly a hardware company. In a roundabout way, because you're licensing the brand and because you're promoting the devices. Well, your name's all over them. Like, you can't call yourselves a... What does he say? He says, you said it earlier, that the technology firm is 100% complete in its transformation to a software company. I vehemently disagree. Simple as that.
They're still doing hardware.
Yeah, no, I agree. So you're at maybe 80, maybe 90%. You could be generous. Certainly not 100.
Right. So,
but I'm again, just this guy who buys phones and looks at people's websites all the time. So what, you know, who am I?
What do you know?
And used to work at an IT research firm doing the research. Yeah, so, you know.
Exactly. You know, and again, if they listened to you, well, they wouldn't be in this mess.
No kidding. We've been over this.
We've said that countless
times. You and I should run the Canadian Tech Podcast Consulting Company.
There you go.
I should sell this stuff. Anyway. Let's move on to something that happened last Tuesday. That was fun.
Yes, it was. Amazon, they had a big outage, which affected a lot of their AWS service.
Oh, God, did it ever.
A lot of their eastern U.S. And apparently, in the end, if you really want to break it down to its simple thing, some poor sod, he did a typo.
Yep.
Now, you're a server guy. and you know, you do hosting and all that. You want to kind of simplify this probably far better than I can about what happened at the US East 1 region?
Yeah, I can actually. So basically, they were doing some debugging, doing some testing, doing some debugging with the billing system, and they wanted to take down a few servers to do with the billing system in order to debug the issue and figure out where the issue was. That's fine, mm-hmm. right? I'm sure there could be 100 servers running the billing system, right? So if you want to take down 10 of them or 20 of them for half an hour to an hour, even a few hours, it's not the end of the world.
Not a big deal.
I don't know what the command was. I suspect they're using some sort of automation and provisioning system like not Docker.
Their own thing.
Blanking. Ansible or Chef or Puppet, something like that, right? Where it was probably supposed to be like a single group, and instead of naming that group and saying that, he named, I don't know, he put in a typo, and instead of taking down just that group of servers, he took down a whole lot of stuff. He took down probably, I think, the whole billing system. He took down the server that actually tells other servers where your S3 bucket, simple storage service, where your S3 bucket is, and all the pointers to all the files and where those files are and that sort of thing.
That can be bad, right?
That could be very bad, and we'll look at that in a sec. You couldn't launch new Elastic Compute Cloud, also known as EC2, right. New instances. You couldn't do new EBS volumes, which is also a storage thing. The AWS Lambda, which I think is an artificial intelligence or machine learning service, that was impacted because if you were storing stuff there, the stuff was stored on S3, and therefore that wasn't available. For a brief period in time, as soon as I heard about this, I logged into Amazon's web console or AWS console. Yes.
And service health dashboard.
To see if... Oh, no, not the dashboard. That thing is never right. Okay.
All right. Well, that was down too.
Yeah. Everything's green. No, not everything is green. Lots of things aren't working right now. But yes, that was driven by S3 and therefore wasn't working. So the thing that told you whether or not things are working wasn't working. And so I have a bucket in Ireland for my CleverHost backups. And so I wanted to see if that was affected. Well, as we know, the servers that are responsible for telling other servers where the S3 buckets are and point at all the files, that was down. And so I couldn't even see my bucket in Ireland for a little while. So I was like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I hope this is back before like midnight tonight so that my backups work overnight, which it was. The outage lasted about 4 hours. But it was... Slack wasn't working. Trello wasn't working.
There was a lot of different sites that was affected.
Netflix probably had some issues because they use a lot of Amazon Web Services. Is it down right now? Was down. which I thought was really funny.
You gotta love the irony there.
Yes, the irony there. And the funny thing is, as soon as we found out about this at Olio, we use Slack. We don't use Trello, but we use Slack, so we couldn't upload any files for a little while, which is not a big deal, but it was just a little annoying, especially when I'm in like 8 or 9 Slack communities. Where was I going? Brendan, dear leader, managing partner at Olio, first thing out of his mouth was, that's why we have a rule here. You never put anything in US East 1. It is the oldest data center. It has some of the oldest hardware. It fails. If you look back at all the catastrophic failures, almost all of them are in US East 1. So whether Amazon needs to actually move this data center somewhere else or just do a wholesale replacement on a lot of the hardware, I don't know. But just stop using US East 1. If you have something there, especially if you're Canadian, move it to Canada Central. We have our own region now. Move it home. Bring it on.
Now, the other thing, I got a couple of comments here. The other thing I understood was, is that there was, if you had had some of your services across several data zones, like I can appreciate, you know, like your own bucket, a single bucket or something.
Yeah.
But for some of these larger accounts, there was people that weren't affected because they may have stuff in USA East 1, but they've also got stuff in Tokyo or US West, whatever.
Right.
And they've kind of said that for a while. They've said, listen, we have this thing so that way all your eggs aren't in one basket. So, you know, there's that there. So, yeah, I'm not blaming the customer. I'm just saying if you're big enough, that this is going to cost you big bucks when one thing goes down. We have the technology now. Get yourself distributed.
Yes.
The other thing is I have to give kudos to Amazon Web Services because they've been very transparent from what we can see. They had this fairly long explanation out very quickly within 24 hours, basically saying what's going on. You know, they say, an authorized team member using an established playbook executed a command, and then unfortunately one of the inputs was entered incorrectly. So, you know, and they said here, we're going to use this to learn from. And it's like what I say in the disaster recovery game. There's always going to be weird stuff that's going to happen, and you basically learn from this. So, yeah, they've basically said, this is what we're going to learn from it. You know, like, you know, and I'm sure I can just imagine there was some language when someone said, oh, yeah, we can't update, you know, status.amazon, whatever, you know, on the service health dashboard because it's affected. So, you know, they're going to make changes there. So, you know, but again, it just shows how reliant we are on these big cloud services, you know, Amazon, Google, Azure. And when there is problems, how many different separate web services are affected. You know, people don't realize. I think, you know, we us techies do, but the average general public doesn't realize actually how much is there.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Move everything out of US East 1, please.
Okay. So there you go.
Just do it.
Listen to Uncle Derek. Use a password manager and move everything out of US 1.
Yep. So spend a week. It'll be worth it.
Exactly. Or if you're not going to want to move it out, at least make a copy somewhere.
At least make a copy.
Do the
or
hot replication.
I mean, set up a load balancer, you know, like.
Yeah, exactly.
Replicate it somewhere else. If you can't move it, spend an extra $100 a month or $200 a month and make a second copy and store it somewhere else. Like, just.
Exactly.
You know, have a backup plan. Because things go down. Like, this is all made by people. It's all going to break at some point.
Exactly. And you know what? It's nice to know as a clever host customer that, you know, my data is backed up in Ireland.
Darn right it is. I'm not putting anything in the U.S.
Another continent. Yeah, well, completely another continent. So that way, when the meteor takes us out, my website, I'll be dead, but my websites will live. And they can go down to the pub for a Guinness.
Unless it hits, like, right around Greenland, yeah, we should be fine.
Yeah.
I suppose not, for that reason, I should put my stuff in Tokyo, but I don't know what Tokyo's data privacy laws are like, whereas I know what the ones in Ireland are like. So that's the major reason why my stuff's over there.
You know, and if we ever get big enough, we can say we have to go over on a tour of inspection.
Of course. Absolutely.
Yeah. Good excuse. Okay, moving on. Breaking news today. Surprise, surprise. And that's under the surprise department. WikiLeaks released another trove of documents. This is a fairly large one. Apparently, they're saying secret files. Now, this literally just came out a few hours ago, so not everyone's this hasn't been verified yet.
Yeah.
Described as secret files about the CIA using their hacking tools allows their employees to break into users' computers, phones, and even smart TVs, including Samsung. So if you have a Samsung TV, you know, you never know. You know, again, these are still being verified or whatnot. My initial comment is, how come we never hear anything from the Russians, you know, about you know, behind the scenes in the Russian Foreign Service?
Because Russians are too drunk to put anything in computer. It's all still on Russia. Paper.
Well, I still wonder who the actual source WikiLeaks. But anyway.
Well, hang on. Apparently, this trove of data has actually been passed around amongst U.S. government hackers and some security firms over the last few weeks, and it got leaked to WikiLeaks.
Interesting. So again, there's still a lot of people are still going through it. Some interesting things. You know, my comment from this, putting on my my secret agent tinfoil hat. This shouldn't surprise anyone that governments are using these tools. I assure you, they even mention MI5. MI5 and 6, the French service, the Germans, everyone's
going to
CSIS, CSIS, all your various 3-year and 4-letter letter agencies.
I got some 4-letter words for them.
I know, exactly.
So,
yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I want to address. So there was this headline that got a little overblown. People saying that, they figured out how to get into Signal, WhatsApp, and Telegram. Not entirely true. So Signal, WhatsApp, and Telegram all run their own encrypted networks for messages exchanged between Signal users, WhatsApp users, Telegram users. However, if the CIA has managed to get malware on your phone, like an Android phone, and you're using Signal or WhatsApp or Telegram to send a text message to somebody who's not using the same app on the other side, yes, they can intercept the text message outbound after it's been decrypted and before it actually gets sent out, and then incoming but as it's being brought in and before it gets encrypted in Signal. So that's not Signal's fault. That's an Android bug, obviously, or a security hole.
Yeah. If your source is compromised,
yes.
Then of course, you're screwed.
Right. So that's actually where that came from. Suffice to say, if you're using Signal, WhatsApp, Telegram, any other encrypted messenger to communicate with people who are not using the same encrypted messenger on their end, yes, of course. Whether it's on your device or on their device, the CIA in this particular case can get to it. However, to me, that just means we all should be using Signal, WhatsApp, and Telegram instead of SMS, because then it's encrypted end to end. Or even Google Allo. You can kick out the Google Assistant bot and have encrypted communications there. Great. So do that instead. If you're paranoid, or if you just don't want to, if you want to preclude the opportunity for any law enforcement agency to look at your stuff because it's yours and you're not doing anything wrong in the first place. So some of the headlines are a little overblown. But if you dig in deep, there's still a whole lot of
clicks.
Yeah, there's still a whole lot of bad stuff here. Apparently, the CIA is a big fan of Calmoji. Most famous Calmoji is probably the shrug set of characters. Yeah. I'm a big fan of the shrug. I think it works really well. The flip the table Calmoji, Cal spelled K-A-O. That's the Japanese word for basically emoji made out of actual text. And that sort of thing. So they use those a lot, and they have some really weird code names like Weeping Angel. What was the other one I saw here?
Well, I think they must be a Doctor Who fan.
Yeah, I hate those angels. Oh, that was a creepy episode. It's if you have a Samsung Smart TV, get rid of it. It's the message there. And if you have an old Android phone, get rid of it. Get up to a brand new Android phone that actually has Android 7.0 or at least 6.0. Gets regular security updates. Like, this is the thing. And I know this is Google's fault, but you need a phone that actually gets the updates. That's one major reason why I bought the Pixel. I got a security update 2 days ago. So it's high time we all ended up on proper devices that actually get security upgrades, whether it's an iOS device or an Android device. I'm not particularly concerned. I just want you to be safe because I love
you. Exactly. And you know what? And if you have a 50-inch or above Samsung TV that you want to get rid of, just let me know and I'll be glad to pick it up for you. Just send.
Oh man!
I have no secrets. They might be disgusted. We could have some fun trolling if we knew if it was compromised. You could have some real fun with that.
Oh gosh! I've got a system update to apply now from patches issued a few days ago. So there you go. So I'm going to do that right after the show.
And again, to the 15 intelligence agencies currently monitoring this conversation, we're kidding.
No, go away. You're kidding. I'm done.
Go away. away. That was Derek, D-E-R.
Love you too.
All right. Love you too. Okay. Anyway, let's go on. Canadian banks, RBC, they're personal banking customers. I don't know whether to shake my head or not. Can now use Siri to send money transfers to their friend and family members.
Why not? This is great.
Why not? Hey Siri, send Rose $20. It's like, yeah but, you know. Now, I want to wait till Amazon Echo does it, because then if I'm like Leo Laporte does,
oh, God.
I want to go, hey Echo, send Canadian Tech Podcast $20.
Just 20?
Well, we'll start. You know, I don't want to be.
Well, clean. Yeah, I suppose if we could do that 100 times, yeah, that's two grand.
Well,
that's
okay. Yeah, Leo could probably get away with 20. We'd have to do 100, but still, I'm just, yeah.
No, and I'm saying $20 across 100 people, that's $2,000. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, if we could do that, if we do that every week, you and I are living large, buddy. Anyway, yeah.
Now, apparently, I think this is really interesting. Apparently, the personal system. You have to have the recipient's name has to be in the payee list. So you have to set up the thing first. So,
sure.
You know, you could have your mom or whatever. So, yeah, I don't think,
yeah, but if you've already,
I don't think Leo's trick or mine.
No, but if you've already used the mobile app or the online banking system to send money to, for instance, my daycare provider, I've got her name set up. She's set up as a payee. So I could say, mm-hmm. Hey Siri, send blah, 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 $200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so does it just use the same? I imagine, yeah. So payments are secured and authorized using Touch ID, of course. Mm-hmm. So I probably have to put my thumb or whatever on the Touch ID thing after that to verify that I did, in fact, want that to happen. And then I would guess because Interact e-transfer requires the question and answer. So it probably, for me, I just always use the same one. It's like, do you want to use the same one?
Yeah.
Yes.
There might be something pre-plugged in. Now, did you know Canadians have been able to use Siri to send money transfers using PayPal since last November? I didn't know that.
I was not aware of that because I've never downloaded the PayPal mobile app. Yeah, and I don't I don't have an iPhone. I have an iPad, but I don't have the PayPal mobile app. So.
Right. So just think, look at all those spams. Yes, I am a prince from Nigeria. Please download this app today.
Well, I need now RBC to bring this. Since Google Assistant is always being opened up more and more and more, that's what I need. I need RBC to bring this to Android. So I can say, so every Monday morning I can say, okay, G-dude or G-dudette. It's usually a woman's voice. Hey, okay, G-woman.
Right.
Send Carol $200. And it'll just go. That'd be great. It would save me. That would literally save me like a whole minute.
Oh, wow. What could you do in a minute?
Man, there's a lot one can do. So much. I could start driving to work.
You could start driving to work. There you go. Exactly. Okay. So now, speaking of driving to work, we're going to stop for a minute, take a break, and we're going to have a word from our sponsor.
Olio Digital Labs is one of Canada's most accomplished small market agencies delivering web apps and mobile apps to businesses across Canada. In this era of persistent connectivity and pervasive mobile devices, it's becoming more important than ever before for businesses to be everywhere their employees and customers are. Olio provides its customers with the peace of mind only a highly skilled and experienced team can provide, a team that is big enough to support your needs, but flexible enough to work to your constraints. With a client list spanning from the Middlesex London Health Unit and Ellison Travel and Tours, all the way up to College Pro and TSN, the team at Olio has proven itself to be the planners, designers, and builders of the web and mobile apps used by some of Canada's largest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you by calling 226-785-0420. Emailing Derek at oleodigitallabs.com or visit oleodigitallabs.com to learn more. That's Olio Digital Labs, code that powers every day.
And we'd like to thank Olio Digital Labs for their ongoing support of the Canadian Tech Podcast.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I work there. I get to say that.
You get to say that. Well done. Always neat stuff. And they have awesome coffee.
Yes, we do. Lavazza right now from Italy.
Ooh, very nice.
From
very
Italia, nice. You know.
I'll have to wander over on my lunchtime walk one day.
Sure.
There you go. Okay, moving on. Our good friends at the CRTC, Lately, you know, we've had a couple of stories where we really like them. Well, this time they're kind of in our bad books.
Yeah.
He shut down a Sugar Mobile in a big victory for the big three. So according to Sugar Mobile President Samir Bishay, my apologies if I'm screwing that up. Yeah, they were offering wireless plans for as little as $19 a month because they were kind of going on Rogers Network. You want to describe this a little bit more?
Sure. So Ice Wireless is actually the parent company here. They operate a large wireless network across the Yukon and Northwest Territories and Nunavut. And they actually they have roaming agreements with, I think, the big three, certainly with Rogers, in order to use Ice Wireless's network up there. And vice versa, Ice Wireless had a roaming agreement with Rogers so that when Ice Wireless customers came down here south of the wall, they could jump on Rogers Network, you know, here in southwestern Ontario and in, Manitoba, Quebec, wherever. And and so Ice, brilliant flash of inspiration, thought, hey, why don't we turn this into a mobile virtual network operator, a.k.a. MVNO, and sell direct to people? Since we have this roaming agreement, they'll actually be Ice Wireless. In the brand was Sugar Mobile, so they'd be Sugar Mobile clients via Ice Wireless. Right. And that way, they can roam on Rogers while they're south of the wall. And when they come north of the wall, eventually, they'll be on Ice Wireless's network. Brilliant.
Seems perfectly valid to me.
Why wouldn't you do that? We covered this when it launched, and we were like, this is great. Yeah. I'm so tempted to switch, but it was only like 200 megabytes of data. Now we understand why.
Yeah.
They recently bumped it up to 400 megabytes. I just tweeted that out like 2 weeks ago, and that change only happened like 5 or 6 weeks ago, only to find out, Rogers fought it at the CRTC, and the CRTC said, sorry, Sugar/Ice. That's not how this works. You guys can't, you know, you guys can't sign people up knowing that they're going to be roaming 99% of the time unless they come to your actual neck of the woods, like Northern Quebec, Yukon, Northwest Territories, and Nunavut. So the CRTC has effectively quashed Sugar Mobile, which really sucks. I imagine there are at least a few hundred, maybe a few thousand customers who took advantage of the fact that this was $19 a month, which is great.
They actually, according to the CBC, they had about 5,500 customers.
Oof.
Sugar Mobile, so it was launched in early 2016 by ICE.
Yeah, so they're pulling in over $1 million a year through this.
So there we go.
Mobile Syrup. Sorry, Mobile Syrup has the full ruling if you want to read it. And link is in the show notes. But disappointing. Mm-hmm. Very disappointing.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you do?
You fight the man.
You fight the man.
That's what you
do. Last but not least, speaking of Samsung, you know, if your TV's not getting hacked, they got something about rich communication services. And you were talking to me about this earlier, so I'm going to let you roll with this.
Sure. So rich communication services, also known as RCS, is a somewhat nascent but expanding and maturing set of communication protocols that would eventually replace SMS and MMS, so text messages and picture messages. It's more like Apple iMessage or like Allo, right, where you're actually sending, you know, rich communication, rich messages back and forth. But it's a standard that it could be used anywhere. Apple could supplement iMessage with RCS so that devices that are not iOS based could actually do you want to be green or do you want to be blue? Blue is text messages, right? Or is it green?
Greens when you're no. See, now you got me wondering. No, greens like outside of Wi-Fi, like outside of Apple. Yeah.
Okay, so you want to be blue,
at least online.
So Yeah. Potentially, if you're on an iPhone or an iPad, all your friends could be blue, and you could send all the crazy emoji and the all those stupid things I don't like in iOS 10. You could send those to those people, regardless of the fact that they're not on iPhones and iPads.
You shouldn't be saying stuff like that, because that means everyone's going to send you emojis now.
Emojis, but I have an iPad. You can send me the annoying stuff. That's fine. I can just turn it off.
All right. All right.
So anyway, so Samsung is getting into this. They're actually using the technology, the RCS solution from a Canadian company called NewNet, all one word. Mm-hmm. And NewNet is providing end-to-end solution with mobile apps, sort of native apps, cloud-based mm-hmm. application services, and internet, an interconnectivity hub for among operators, and of course a third-party monetization platform, a la the App Store, where you can buy stickers and stuff for iMessages. So this is really cool. You could do group chats, video calls, big file transfers. While you keep using your phone numbers instead of having to download another app. And Android Messages, which was previously called Messenger, which was previously called Messages, mm-hmm. it's now been rebranded again as Android Messages, is heading in this direction as well, supporting RCS. Google's pushing everybody to support RCS so that regardless of the app we're all using, we can mm-hmm. we can do all the fun stuff. Yep. So
standards.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, it'll eventually replace SMS and MMS as long as we get traction here. And the big news for me was A, Samsung's getting into this and supporting it, and B, a Canadian company is supplying all the technology, which is great.
Right. Right. Very cool.
The press release kind of makes it sound like they bought NewNet. They didn't. They've acquired the solutions from NewNet.
Solution, right. Yeah, and they were doing demos at Mobile World Congress last week. Yes, so, and it'll be supported on Samsung smartphones running Marshmallow. So there we go.
Yeah, Marshmallow 6.0 for the uninitiated. Android 6. Yeah.
Okay. Those are all the stories that are fit to print or line the birdcage, whatever you want.
fit to talk about.
Stuff we like. I actually stole this from Derek because Derek actually tweeted about this last night, I believe. Mm-hmm. SimpleTax.ca. Nice and simple, and it's a pay what you want for the tax return. And I haven't completed it yet, but I've been reading some reviews, and a lot of people like it. It's fairly straightforward, all web-based. You can save your information. You can put yourself, your spouse, all that in. So yeah, I got to play catch up on taxes, so I'm going to be doing this. So yeah, looks nice and easy, and so far I'm pretty impressed. Now, did you finish your taxes with us yet?
I sure did last night.
There you go.
That's why I tweeted about it.
So yeah, you were pleased with it. Yeah, I have to kind of set up the account with the CRA because it'll autofill that information.
Yes.
I want to try that. So we'll see what happens there. But yeah, so we'll have a link in the show notes and something to give a try. Okay, what do you have this week, sir?
I have Solo Learn. So we all know I'm learning Python and I'm enjoying it. Actually, I really enjoy the syntax. I like how simple it is. I don't need curly brackets. I don't need square brackets, anything like that. It just figures that out, and I really like that.
Cool.
And so I thought, you know, like I was going through a course on not Skillshare, StackSkills.com, and it was going pretty well. But I just found myself kind of being bored, and so I thought, well, I downloaded a couple apps recently. I'm going to give those a shot, and I found one from a company called Solo Learn. And I was going through that, and of course, as soon as I started using it, they said, hey, we're actually deprecating this app. Go download our other one. So I went, fine, I'll go download the other one. And so the all-in-one app is called Solo Learn. They have courses for just about everything. C++, Java, Python 3, which is where I am, JavaScript, PHP, C#, Swift, Ruby, jQuery, HTML, SQL, CSS. And it's free. that's the best part. Everything so far has been free. I'm sure they've got a business plan or a business, a monetization plan in the works of some kind. Mm-hmm. But for now, you can learn on your Android device, on your iOS device, on your Windows phone, or on the web. And cool. Yeah, and the Python 3 tutorial has been really good. They actually ask you, like, how much do you know? Like, do you know anything about Python or about C sharp or anything like that? Or are you a complete beginner?
It's a snake, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, so Python. Yeah, Python is a couple of snakes. the logo cool. is. And yeah. So you can start from there. And so I was like, no, despite the fact that I'd taken a few lessons on that video course, I was like, no, I'm starting from scratch. And so the really nice thing potentially for you, if you like to learn this way, is it goes through a short little lesson, and then you have to answer a question about it. And then nice. You go through a little lesson, and then you answer a question about it. So it's always constantly testing what you've Making just sure. read and learned. Yeah. So I'm already Good idea. I already finished module one. I'm in the middle of module two. What did I did? I've done Booleans and comparisons, if statements, and else statements. Oh, I'm on operator precedence or while loops, one or the other. So I'm at lesson 19, 18 or 19. Excellent. And I'm quite enjoying it. So if you wanna, if you've had a hard time learning to code, maybe this is the way you learn. And yep. so give it a yep. shot.
Cool. Okay, what we're up to lately? I've been playing a bit more with Linux and AIX at work because our backup servers run on AIX and we support some Linux stuff. So cool. relearning some stuff there, stuff I learned like probably 20 years ago. without giving my yeah. I'm old. Stuff like that. So, yeah, coming back slowly but surely, doing that. And I've mentioned before, I'm working through this book called Designing Your Life. Well recommended. Kind of been doing that and just kind of catching up around here and kind of getting through the end of February and the beginning of March. What about you, counselor?
counselor / sales and marketing guy / podcast co-host / parent / web hosting
/ rabid Portuguese owner. Soccer fan.
Benfica won on the weekend, so that was good. And yeah, you Toronto had a, FC tied.
Yes, I saw your tweet.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, when they scored, yeah. Toronto FC tied, so that was okay.
All the games.
I got to watch all the games. I don't know whether the Raptors won that day or not, but the Blackhawks won, so that was important. Anyway, busy sales week this week. Lots of meetings happening. I had one yesterday. I've got one Thursday. I've got one Friday. I'm hoping to close something on Thursday or Friday, like awesome. A big one. So that's all good. Still working my way through Python, obviously. Like I said, I was going through Boolean operators and Boolean logic and precedence operators or operator precedence. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I got a council meeting tomorrow. I don't think it'll take too long. There is a public meeting. No, there is no public meeting. Haha. So I should be out of there by 6 or so.
Good.
For anybody who's been following, I've got my motion up tomorrow for vote about asking the public school board to make sure that there are defibrillators in all the schools. That's being awesome. Voted yep, on tomorrow.
No, that's a very good thing. And
otherwise, yep. I've got a busy month ahead.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's always keeps us busy. Okay. Well, I guess that's it for this week. So don't forget to review us and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, wherever else you get your podcasts. Retweet us. And we have a Facebook page, so do the old like thing and comment there. You can also send us an email at contact@canadiantechpodcast.ca. We'd love to hear what you think about the show or if you have some suggestions. So I think we're done for this week, and hopefully we'll be back to a Sunday-Monday schedule. Do you have anything else in closing, Mr. Silva?
I do not.
You do not. Okay.
Oh, Discord's worked out quite well. I'm enjoying this. It looks a lot like Skype, or not Skype, Slack and HipChat and the interface, but it has all the voice or audio settings we needed to export or to pipe my audio through SoundFlower, yes. and therefore to the app where we actually record everything. So this is
same here.
This is good so far.
Voice meter. Yep. And we noticed our good friends of the show, Andrew Burdan and John Pylon, are also on this. Although I'm going to have a word with Mr. Pylon. He hasn't acknowledged my friend request yet.
Wah, wah.
I'm very sad. I'm gonna call him out on that. So, all right.
Publicly.
So
on Twitter.
Publicly on Twitter. Well, even on this podcast, I can do it. We're still. I'll tell his wife.
Ooh.
I'll tell Allison. That'll do it. So I know. I have my powers. Okay, for episode 106 for March the 7th, 2017. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is still Derek Silva.
Thank you and be well.